This week is Parshas Mishpatim. As you all know, there are two Sifrei Torah this week. This is the first of the Dalid Parshiyos. It is Shabbos Shkolim. Okay, we take out a second Sifrei Torah. We read from Shkolim, and the Haftorah is from Melachim. We have a special Kriya and a special Haftorah. But first, let's discuss some Me'ilaham Mishpatim Asher Tassim with Nehem. This Parsha follows immediately after Matan Torah. The Aseres Adibros. And right after the Aseres Dibros comes those of Mishpatim, and the Mishpatim are basically the laws of Choshen Mishpat. Choshen is one of the very famous Yisoid. If the first thing that the Torah, the first halachas the Torah teaches us after Matan Torah is Choshen Mishpat in Yanim, Mishpat, why then did Rav Yosef Karoy in the Shulchan Aruch begin with the laws of Orechayim, and then with the laws of Yerideya, and then the laws of Evan Ho'ezer, and then the laws of Choshen Mishpat? Don't you think Choshen Mishpat should come first? We should follow the same Seder as the Torah. Just like after Torah was given, the very first thing that it says in the Torah is Ve'ileh HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem. So why isn't the first section of Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat the laws of Dinei Nemoinois Ben Adam L'Chaveroi? Okay, we'll give it a share. 1 second. Begin with Choshen Mishpat. So the famous answer, a lot of people say the answer is because what is the first halacha in Choshen Mishpat? The first halacha is really what it says here in the Baal HaTurim. If you have a chance, look at the Baal HaTurim in the Chumash later. The word HaMishpatim is Rosh Tevos, is Nutrikin, Hadayon Mitzuveh Sheyaseh Pishara Terem Yaseh Mishpat. Okay, in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is the first halacha in Choshen Mishpat. A dayan has an obligation before he makes a paskins the halacha, who's right, who's wrong, is to make a compromise. If two people are fighting over $100, maybe we can split the money. Maybe we can give 50-50, 70-30, all depending upon what the situation is. And in fact, today, there really is, if you can't make that decision, if it cannot be decided clearly, then, or the people do not want to make up short, then the dayan will have to paskin outright, you win, you lose. You get the $100 and you get zero.
So he has to be a mediator before he's a judge.
Exactly. It's a mitzvah. And in fact, today, Bizman has said, modern times, really, there is no such thing anymore as din.
Yeah.
Because there's no one today that is knowledgeable in the laws of Choshen Mishpat to the degree where they can paskin clear, you are right, you are wrong. So Bizman Hazeh, there really is no such thing. When you go to Bizman Hazeh, for Chas V'Shalom, you ever have to go to Din Torah in Bez Din, and over Dinei Nemonois, it's going to be Pshara. It's not going to be 50-50. It might be 90-10. It might be 80-20. It might be 70-30. But they're going to basically look at the basic halachas. They're going to use the best knowledge they have to understand what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. And in a very high profile case, each one of the litigants will bring in a lawyer. What kind of lawyer? A Talmud Chacham, people who know Shulchan Aruch inside out, who will try to present all of the possible reasons in Shulchan Aruch, all of the possible svaris. They'll dig up Rabbi Akiva Eger, Ktsois, a Nesivis, Prima Gadin. They'll dig up svaris all over the place and they'll present this to the Dayanim. Look, you have Rabbi Akiva Eger that says this. Isn't this comparable? And the Dayanim will analyze. They'll use their own knowledge, of course, and they'll listen to what these it's called the toying. It's a parnasa. It's a whole business for some people. To be like a Jewish lawyer, and they will say, "Listen, we hear what you're saying. Can we tell you how clearly who's right, who's wrong in a complicated case? Impossible. Today, all matters of Choshen Mishpat are so complex. It's ready for hundreds of years like this. It's really very rare to find this fine Talmid Chacham that can pass in Choshen Mishpat." Right, wrong, in a complex. There are simple cases, of course. Okay, there's Aleph Beis also. But when there are complicated cases, so pretty much, it's done with dispute resolution, some type of a mediator, whatever it is. But the chiddush is that it says in Shulchan Aruch, even if you do have outstanding dayanim, who know the halacha inside out, before they go down and paskin the halacha, they should still talk to the two parties and maybe you want to come to some type of agreement. Maybe before we go and we analyze everything and one's going to be a winner, one's going to be a loser, and we'll do it. We have the knowledge to decide who's right and who's wrong. It's still written in Shulchan Aruch that Hadayon mitzuve sheyase pishara terem yase mishpat. That is a concept in Psak Halacha when it comes to Dinei Minayos. So therefore, this is what all the commentators say. The reason why Shulchan Aruch does not begin with Choshen Mishpat is because it sets you off on the wrong foot. You get into a frame of mind that everything in Halacha is compromise. Then when you get up to Aruch Chaim will be the last section in Shulchan Aruch. Oh, should I go davening with a minyan? Well, there are three minyanim. There's Shachris, Mincha, Maariv. We'll make a pshara. I'll go just for Shachris. I'll just go to Mincha. I have to daven the whole Psuki de Zimra? We'll make a pshara. I'll daven half a Psuki de Zimra. I have to write say the whole Kriyashma? I'll say one parish of Kriyashma. I have to have four parishes of Tefillin? Two are enough for me. If you're going to start off Shulchan Aruch with Choshen Mishpat, you're going to set a precedent that everything in the Torah is Peshara, and there's nothing more further than the truth. In Archaim, in Yoredeya, in Choshen Mishpat, there's no such thing as Peshara. It is absolutely 100%. There's no room for compromise. So therefore, it is our custom that's why the Beis Yosef begins with Archaim, and only at the very end we get to Choshen Mishpat, where we do mention this concept that there is something called Shar. It's a very dangerous Yisoid.
There could be another Yisoid.
Yeah.
Because there's really no Kayach of
No, you don't need smicha. What smicha is knasais? You don't need smicha to be badai. You only need smicha for knasais. Fines. You only need smicha for fines. Real smicha. You have to be just to be called a rav in order to pass in halacha.
You want a kabbal someone to be a dayan, even if he's not.
Yeah,
a perfect.
It's also good. They do. The RCA
you,
has.
You automatically can't be in the kabbal to be a halacha. You have to. It's always going to be dayan.
I don't understand.
You accept someone to be a chayshim.
Dispute resolution. Yeah.
Right. You're not expecting him to go to halacha because you can pick
a. Lapisman hazeh. Lapisman hazeh.
No, whenever it was, when it was Gabla, when always you picked a dying, you didn't have to pick a rav. You could have picked a businessman to be a.
Not necessarily. I don't know if that's true. I'm not so sure that's true. You can't pick a business. You have to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to have some basic knowledge. I don't think that's correct. All right, let's go further. Now, the next thing I just want to point out is that even though we don't follow this lahalacha, the Shulchan Aruch does not begin with the Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Aruch begins Aruch Chaim. Yet it is the minik, time honored minik, time immemorial that in yeshiva katana, what is the first thing you teach children? Bava Mitzia. Why? Really, it's this pasuk because the Elaham Mishpat Masher Tosim Lefneim. What does Rashi say? Rashi says it's really addressing a Rebbe. Kol Makayim Hayudash Rabbehed Asher Tosim Lefneim. Amar Loi Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Moshe was the quintessential teacher. The Rabban shall call Yisrael the model for all Rabbeim in the Klal Yisrael. Loi Tale Al Dait Chaloymar. Don't think. Don't even have a havamina to say. Eshne lohem aperek vehalacha. I'll teach Klal Yisrael the perek or the halacha days ay gimel pa'amim ad shetiyah sedura b'fiyam ki mishnasa. They'll know how to memorize. You take a child, you bring the child into the graduation, and they'll spit out the Birchas Yaakov. They'll be able to recite the whole hazinu mila, the whole hazinu mila b'mila. They'll be able to. That's not where my goal. That's not what your goal is. To go and teach the Talmidim that they should know the halacha. They can cite chapter and verse. The eni matriach atzmi lehavinam ta'amei hadavar upeirushai. And I'm not going to trouble myself to explain to them the deeper meaning behind the halacha. I will trouble myself to the degree I'll teach to them two, three times until they know how to pass the test. Until they know the information, they can spit out the information. But do they really understand what they're saying? Do they really appreciate the depth behind the lesson? That's a very difficult task, and that's I'm not being paid enough for me to go and spend my time on this. Lekach nemar. That's why the pasuk says, Asher tosim lifnehem kishulchan haruch umuchon lechol lifnei haadam. A Rebbe has to devote himself to his Talmidim to the degree where they not only do they can they repeat what they've been taught, they have to be able, they have to fully understand the depth behind what is being taught. Just like when you come to a meal, it's a shulchan aruch, the table is set, everything is ready to go. In other words, you're comfortable. When you come to eat, you're comfortable, you have the table is set, nothing more needs to be done. You don't have to go into the kitchen and start cooking and start baking. Everything is ready to go. Everything is ready to consume. It's ready to be applied. The lessons that you've taught the Talmidim, they can apply to life immediately. They don't have to go back to school to get the skills they need to go forward in life and live. Has to be ready. So this pasuk is addressing every single Rebbe. And if a Rebbe does not want to follow what it says in this pasuk, then he is in the wrong business. Not only is he in the wrong business, it's criminal what he's doing. He's ruining the children. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. These three words, asher tasim lifnehem. A Rebbe has an obligation to teach the children like a shulchan aruch. They have to know the tam, and they have to know the perish. The perish and the tam of everything that they've been taught. And what are we discussing? What is the first thing that it mentions? Mishpatim. What is mishpatim? Mishpat is choshe mishpat. Where are the laws, the bulk of the laws of choshe mishpat to be found? In Masechta Bava Metzia. And that is why there's a time-honored tradition that the first thing you teach children is from Masechta Bava Metzia, which typically is Eile Metzia Shalai Ve'Eile Chayav L'Hachris, the laws of Gezel. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. And they say over from many stories where people have challenged the hanhala of various yeshivas. Why are you teaching Bava Metzia? It's a bit too difficult for sixth graders to grasp. Why don't we learn brachos? Let's learn Megillah. Let's learn something very light. We'll select a daf somewhere out there where it's very, very light. And this has always been a challenge. Many, many schools, some schools in fact change. They only have Bava Metzia. But the traditional schools know there's a tradition. And I think they said from Rav Moshe is because the most important thing a child has to know is Gezel. You don't want to see him one day end up somewhere where he should not be. The most important thing you have to drill into a child's mind is Eilu Mitzia Shaloi. There are some things that you can keep. The Eilu Chayev Lahachos. Not everything is yours. Just because it's in the streets and I have an opportunity to take it and no one is watching and I can get away with it. I can get away with it. Not so fast. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam who's watching. Life, no one goes in the, it's very weird to hear a Shomer Torah Mitzvah be an armed robber, to go to a bank on Avenue J and Avenue M and hold up a bank. Okay, but where do you have the Nisyonos? When you can cheat a little bit on your taxes, and when you can, you can get away with something here and there, you can get away with something. That's exactly the case of a Metzia. A Metzia that has a simon is a situation where you can get away with taking something that does not belong to you. And the Torah says, no, for Eilu Chayav L'Hachris. This is Mishpat. This is Mishpat. This is the laws of Chayesh Mishpat. And this is Asher Tosim Lifnehem. A Rebbe has to drill in to the mind of the Talmidim to believe, to understand, it's all Yiras Shamayim. Just because you can get away with it, doesn't mean you're allowed to, because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam that's watching. If it's not yours, it's not yours. This is one of the most fundamental ideas, concepts, that a child has to know before he walks out of yeshiva. And if it's not taught to him, then the yeshiva has miserably failed in their role of chinuch. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here Rashi takes note that this parasha of Mishpatim is juxtaposed to parasha Yisro. That's always a very nice question to ask. What is the previous parasha? The last parasha have to do with this parasha. The last section was the Mizbeach. The last few psukim of the previous Mizbeach was Mizbeach Adama, the Mizbeach Avonim Taseli, the whole parasha of exactly what the Mizbeach should look like. And then it begins with Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. So Rashi says, what's the significance of this juxtaposition? Rashi says, V'lom Nismucha Parashas Dinim L'Parashas Mizbeach Lo'imalucha Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMikdash or Eitzel HaMizbeach. A Sanhedrin has to be right in the vicinity of the Mizbeach. And indeed in the Beis HaMikdash there was the Lishka Sagozis, which was right opposite the Mizbeach. What exactly is Rashi coming? What's the purpose? Why does Hashem want there to be a Mizbeach, the Sanhedrin near the Mizbeach? So there are many interpretations. The simple interpretation is that a Mizbeach represents sacrifice. A person doesn't just sacrifice himself, his time, his money, without psak halacha. A person has to be very careful. You need das Torah. You need to consult with Talmidei Chachamim if you're allowed to sacrifice. It's a very noble, the whole Beis HaMikdash is when you're coming to give up of yourself, to sacrifice, to make sacrifices to Hashem. Who says Hashem wants you to give sacrifices? Hashem doesn't need the sacrifices. Hashem has other things he would prefer from us. So you have to be very careful. A person would be inclined when he's suffering, when he wants something from Hashem. The first thing a person says, you know what? I'll bring a sacrifice, and that will earn me merit to get what I want. Who says? There has to be a barrier. Before you get into the Mizbeach, you have to first pass security. And the security is going to ask you, why are you bringing a sacrifice? For what? For what purpose? And they will challenge you. The Sanhedrin will challenge if the sacrifice is truly necessary. That's a very popular answer. But I think I want to just say just the opposite. Is that the reason why the Mizbeach is near the Sanhedrin is to teach a person is that that when you go to the Sanhedrin, it's also a sacrifice. In other words, it's very easy to bring a sacrifice, to write out a check. But it's much harder when the rabbi tells you, I want you to stop talking during laning, to stop talking during davening. When the rabbi says, I want you to come to a shir, I want you, you have a machlekes with your friend, I want you to make shalom. When the Sanhedrin approaches you and tells you, this is the halacha, and this is what you should do, that's a sacrifice. That's even a greater sacrifice than offering an animal upon the Mizbeach. A person, by coming to the Beis HaMikdash, he sees that there's a Mizbeach, and he sees next to the Mizbeach is the Sanhedrin. It impresses him. There are two types of sacrifices. There's a sacrifice of giving up of my money to the Hashem, and there's also a sacrifice of subduing, of giving in my will to the Rabbanon. The Mizbeach, there's a two. The Mizbeach is there to impress upon a person, you really want to bring a sacrifice? The real sacrifice is to listen to what the Talmidei Chachamim tell you to do. Okay, let's go to the next idea. The next idea is the parasha of Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri, it says, Eved Ivri, he says to his master, I love my master, I don't want to leave. And after 6 years, so he becomes a Nirtza. The Pasuk says, he is taken to the court. Ho Elohim here refers to the court. V'gishoy el hadeles oy el havezuzah. Now, by the way, I forgot to mention, what's this expression? The master will take him near. What will happen if the slave himself? I want to be your slave for another few years. So he triggers the halach of nirtza. The master says, "Do you know what you just said? You said you want to be a slave for more time. You're now a nirtza. I have no choice but to take you to the bezdin and to gore and to bore a hole in your ear." So the slave says, okay, I'll meet you there tomorrow. I'll meet you there tomorrow. You don't have to take me. I'll see you there tomorrow. He goes there tomorrow. The balabais comes and the slave is there. And the slave is, I'm here. I'm all ready. I got my ear on the door. Here's the hammer. Here's the awl. I'm all ready to go. Is he a nirtza? Is he a nirtza? No, he's not a nirtza. You know why? Because the pasuk says, v'higi shoy. A very fast, very bizarre concept. There's a din hagosha. There's a din hagosha is that the master has to be the one to bring him there. The master has to be the one to pick him up and bring him to the bezdin and bring him to the door. It says it twice. V'yishoy adonav el holohim. V'yishoy el hadeles. Hagosha. A din hagosha. Where do we find the concept of hagosha? By a chasa, no. I thought you were going to say by a bris. You don't hear this anymore. I never heard this either. I never saw this. I found at home a long time ago a recording of the bris of my brother. Okay, so it's a long time ago. It's fascinating to listen to this recording. You know, Yankel Pfeffelkorn, I don't see him do it anymore. I used to go do it, but this wasn't even him. Someone made a recording of my brother's bris, and it was very, very fascinating to hear. A lot of people are not alive. Not everyone there on the table is not alive anymore. And I recognize who they were, the Moyle, or Zimmerman, and and my father, all the people there. And then the Rabbi Zimmerman, he kept on saying, Mechubit so and so mit hagosha, Mechubit mit hagosha, Mechubit mit hagosha, hagosha, hagosha. So I said, I said to my father, what is hagosha? I davened with Chaim Berlin, and Chaim Berlin, Baruch Hashem, when I davened, they don't daven there anymore. When I davened there, they had a bris, let's say once a week, maybe once in 2 weeks. And I've witnessed multiple brisim. I never heard anyone call out Mechubit mit hagosha. So my father says, yeah, you don't see this anymore, but this used to be the minug when you want to make kibudim, the kvata. So after the kvata brings the kvata, he brings the baby in from outside, and then they pass it off like a football. They pass it off from one to the next.
Haika.
And that way,
covered.
What?
They call it a haika.
A haika?
Yeah.
What's a haika mean?
Yeah.
What's haika? What does it mean, haika?
I don't know.
Okay, but they called it hagosha, to come close. Hagosha. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from over here, the Yigishai, but the only place where it really comes from and that's most significant is by a carbon mincha. A carbon mincha, when you bring a carbon mincha, the equivalent of doing zurika on the mizbeach, the equivalent of pouring the blood on the mizbeach, is taking the mincha and making contact with the corner of the mizbeach. It's called a hagosha. Hagosha. And if you don't do the hagosha, the mincha is pasul. You wasted your time. It's a chulim azah. It's lo yotza. You don't fulfill your obligation. You take, you have to do hagosha. So I saw in one of the Briska Svarim, which one of the Svarim they have now, a lot of Svarim from the Briska Rav, and the collection of the Svarim from the previous, from all the various Rabbanim of Brisk, where they make a connection between V'Yigishoy El Hadeles, V'Yigishoy Elokim, V'Yigishoy El Hadeles, to a Mincha. And basically that really explains exactly what I just said in the previous Rashi. The previous Rashi says, why is there a smichus between the Mizbeach and the Sanhedrin, to teach you to put a Sanhedrin near the Mizbeach. And then the very first halacha teaches you that when you come to the Sanhedrin, when you come to the Ho Elohim here means the Sanhedrin, how do you go to them? You go, V'higishoy, Hagosha. Wait a minute, the only other place where that word is used is when you go to the Mizbeach. When you have a mincha, a meal offering, when you want to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, offer a meal offering, it has to be Hagosha. It's teaching you that's the same thing. Just like when you approach the Mizbeach, there are laws, V'higish, there's Hagosha. When you bring a sacrifice, when you offer, when you come to the Sanhedrin, you have to go with the same V'higishoy. When you bring your meal offering, what happens to the meal offering? It's burnt. At least the kenitza is burnt. By Kohanim, the entire thing is burnt. It's burnt to Hashem. It's a sacrifice. When you come to the Sanhedrin, you have to recognize they're going to make demands of you. And when they make demands of you, you have to sacrifice from your time. From your time. Mm-hmm. Every time you go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you hear all these stories, he makes demands. Do this, grow a beard, don't wear a watch. That's the easy ones. But learn this mesechta, learn that mesechta. Going to a Sanhedrin requires sacrifice. It requires the same concept as we see in the very first halacha, V'higishoy el hu Elohim, the same term that's used when it comes to Mizbeach. Yeah.
Approach
the same frame of mind. The same way when you take your mincha to the Mizbeach, it's called Hagosha, V'Hagosha, it's within the frame of mind of sacrifice. When you come to the Sanhedrin, when you come to the Elohim, it's coming with a frame of mind that you have to be willing to sacrifice yourself to the Sanhedrin. They will make demands which are uncomfortable, but that is all part of the deal. That's all part of what we're required to do. Okay, now let's go further. We mentioned over here that he's taken to the Delish.
The Nirtza is actually going through a very profound experience.
The Nirtza, well, not only the Nirtza, the Balabais, everyone. Everyone is going through a profound, the Balabais.
It's not a good experience.
The Balabais, it's a very big expense, and the Balabais now has a slave until Yovel. Is that a benefit or is that a chassaron?
You have to support him better than himself.
You have to support him, right. So who said it's such a good thing? Maybe short term it was worth its while, but now to support
he's
him.
He's married, it's obviously he's married.
He has to support his wife and children, it says.
Right.
This is not so similar. So therefore it's a very big sacrifice for the Balabais to proceed.
So is he doing a big mitzvah that he's been accepting this guy for another 40
you're
years?
You're saying very good. It's a very big size. It's a very big problem. To fulfill the halacha and to make him a niritza for the next 40 years, who says it's to the best interest of the Baal HaBayis?
That's why he has the right to give the shifkut, to make up for his expense and create new slaves.
And let's say he can't have children. Let's say he can't have children. So it's a very complicated situation. It's not as easy as it seems. Okay, next.
If he's 30, 40 now, and then you have another 40 years.
Okay, let's go further. I'm going to cover some ground. We mentioned over here that he's taken now. He's taken over here to the Delos. Why the Delos? What does the Delos have to do with anything? So Rashi says because the Delos and the Mezuzos were witnesses in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim when Hashem passed over Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim. The truth is, if you look in the Pesukim, it doesn't say anything about a Delos. It says you put the blood on the Mashkov, the Al Shtei HaMezuzos. The word Delos, to the best of my knowledge, does not appear anywhere in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So yet Rashi,
the doorway.
What?
The doorway.
But yeah, but you know, you have to the slave's ear is bored on the door manish, not in the doorway. You don't put his ear on the doorpost. Rashi, the pasuk says very. Rashi makes it very clear: the ear must be bored against a door. And the reason why it says mezuzah is to teach you, just like the mezuzah is vertical, the door has to be vertical. The door has to be attached by its hinges, attached to the post. If the door is broken, it fell off the hinges, it's lying on the floor, and you want to lie down on the floor and do the boring of the ear against the door, lo yatsa. The door has to be up against the post, it has to be vertical. So the question is, why the door? So Rashi says, because the door was a witness at the time of Makas Bechoros, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avodin. Now, if Rashi says that we have a moon, it's certainly true, but I'm just questioning, I just want to make an observation. You don't find a door existing in Mitzrayim. Of course, they had doors, they had privacy, we assume. They had doors. And if Hashem was passing over Pesach, Hashem ala Pesach on the opening, so we assume the Pesach has a mashkov and shtei mezuzos, and of course there's a door. But by the way, it doesn't say that in the Pesach anyway. It doesn't say there was a door in the Pesach. So what then does Rashi mean? So I just want to say, Jewish, I think I told this to you last year, is that the only place in Chumash where we find the word door is one place. And that is in Sidon. In Sidon, when the Malachim came to save Lot, so Lot takes them in, and then soon enough, all of a sudden, people start gathering. They gather, so Lot goes outside to talk to them. Vayiskar hadeles bado, and he shuts the door behind him. Why does the pasuk need to tell us this piece of information? Of course, maybe he didn't close the door. What's it telling us this? So there's one important thing we have to keep in mind. Rashi there, the pasuk says, and Rashi explains, is that on this very day, Lot is a very important person for Parashas Mishpatim. You cannot leave Lot out of Parashas. You have to analyze Lot because Lot was the chief Dayan. Who do we find? I think he's the first chief Dayan we find in Chumash. Every time you find something for the very first time, that has significance. We don't find Adam was a Dayan. You don't find Noach was a Dayan. You don't find Avram was a Dayan. You don't see anywhere people came for Mishpat, but it says that Lot was appointed to be a Dayan. He was in charge of the legal proceeding. He was the chief justice. And his appointment came on that very day when the Malachim came to save him.
Bayom Hazem Minohu Dayan,
I think. Bayom Hazem Minohu Dayan. Okay, it says there's a deacon in the past. I've just started sukkim there. I can't take too long to find it now. Started sukkim there. It says there, Beferish Rashi, based upon a deacon in the pasuk, that on that very day he was appointed to be the chief justice in the land of the Supreme Court of Sidon.
Lod
Yoshev Bishar Sidon. He's Yoshev Bishar Sidon, chief justice of Sidon, highest court in the land. Okay, so you're learning Parashas Mishpatim. Parashas Mishpatim is about Dayanim, right? This is the parasha. You're not going to go to secular courts. Asher tosim lifnehem v'lo lifnei arkois. You can't go to the courts. So, we have to study that parasha. What does it say that Lot did? Lot comes out of his home. Vayiskar hadeles bado. He shuts the door. What was Lot? Vaderes sagar acharav. And he shuts the door behind him. What is the pasuk telling you that? He goes out to have a conversation with these people. These people want to do an avera. So let's first discuss it. You have to tell me that he shut the door behind him? Teretz says, Lot is a dayan. What is the primary role of a dayan in the Torah's understanding? What is the primary? Go ask this to Supreme Court justices. What do you view to be your primary role on the bench?
partiality.
What are you here for? What are you here for? To decide law? To make law? No, you're not here to make law, right? Because the laws are made by other people. Every culture is different. They just had an area, they appoint an area to show a whole different type of system of justice in area to show. Every country has its own system of justice. Speak to the judges. How do you view your role? Your role as a judge? The Torah tells something amazing. Lot was a Dayan, and Lot viewed his role as to protect people. I'm here to protect you from those who violate the law. I'm not here to decide laws. I'm not here to make laws. I'm not here to
prosecute, to
change the laws. I'm here. There are laws. There are rights. There are wrongs. My role as a judge is Vayiskar Hadeles Bado. These people now are in danger. They're in danger. You're in danger? I'm here to protect. I'm the judge. I represent the law. I am the law. And my role is to take the door, shut the door. When you shut the door, Bado, there's protection. You're inside, they're outside. I'm here to protect you. The ultimate tool that a judge has is not his gavel, it's not his robe, it's not his desk, okay, it's not his pen, it's not the media. The koyach of a judge is a door. The symbol of a judge, and not the scales, okay, in the Torah's understanding, the symbol of a judge is a delis. Vayiskar hadeles ba'ado. Says here in the pasuk, we have a problem, we have a slave. A slave. He committed a crime. So the solution is he was sold as a slave for 6 years, and now the system has failed because after 6 years, instead of being rehabilitated and going out into the world and making a life for himself, we take him to the court and we bore a hole in his ear. Where do we bore a hole in his ear? On the door. The door represents the koyach of the court of the Elohim. Vigishoy adonav elhu Elohim. Where? Where to the court? Vigishoy el hadeles. The deles is the koyach of the court. In other words, the court has failed. The court has put this slave in the home of this person in order to rehabilitate him. I guess you have to extrapolate. I don't think this whole thing through, but just, I'm just giving you some raw ideas to develop, and now he wants to be a nirtza. So the court is to blame to some degree, and that's why we're going el hadelis. The delis is the koyach of the court, and this man has to be. We have to deal with the situation. The way we deal with the situation is he's going to be a nirtza v'avodoy le'olam. But at least we have more of an appreciation of why specifically it's the delis, and not just stand, lie down on the floor. We're going to bang and put a hole in your ear. The delis represents the koyach of mishpat. The koyach to protect the members of society from people who are out of control, people who want to cause us harm.
Hadeles is a gematria mishpat.
Hadeles is mishpat with a hey idea. Hadeles is mishpat. Okay, so this is an idea. So it's now you think about current events. I'm not here to make any political statements, but it's very interesting that Trump's. What? Okay, you have to add it. You can spin it many ways. You can spin it many ways. But you know, Trump has a very interesting approach. His my role here is, and Eretz Yisrael, they've been saying this since time immemorial. My role as Prime Minister, Netanyahu always says this. My first obligation as Prime Minister is to protect the people, the citizens of this country. Zehu, and you don't like it? Too bad for you. This is what I've been elected to do. This is my role. Trump is pretty much saying the same thing. You don't like it? There are problems? Okay, we got problems. We'll work out the problems. But this is how it has to be. That's what my primary role is to protect, to close the door. Vayiskar hadeles ba'ado. That's the priority. Everything else will come in the right time. Okay, let's now go to another quick idea. El oyel hamezuzah. So I saw in one of the Briska Sarim, the mefalpel. When it says hamezuzah, does it mean the mezuzah mamish? Right? says the two parashiyos, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, or does it mean the post? So we're brainwashed. Of course, it means the post. Doesn't mean the mezuzah mamish. But who says? Maybe when it says in the pasuk V'gishoy Adonai El Adelos O El Hamezuzah, maybe it means that they should make a hole against the mezuzah. You take it. You open up the mezuzah. You put it.
You're saying it's only the dalet.
What? Right. Of course, I know. This. I mean, Rashi says when it doesn't mean the mezuzah, because why then does it say oh ha mezuzah? So Rashi has a drasha. There's an elaborate drasha. Just like the mezuzah is standing, so to the delos must be standing. But before we get into any drashas, putting drashas aside, it's very strange. The whole thing b'chalal is very strange because the only way you could understand the pasuk is according to the medrash. Most of the time, a pasuk can be read l'fi pshutai, and then there are midrashim. Occasionally, you can't even translate the words l'fi pshuto. The only way you can translate the words is according to the chazal, according to the drasha. This is one such example. Because when it says here, the simple reading is, you bring him to the door or to the mezuzah. That's not true. You don't bore the hole against the post. That's not a good nirtza. You have to bore the hole against the door. Why then does it say, oh, ala mezuzah? To teach you a halacha that the door must be attached to the post. But it does say the mezuzah. And don't tell me, well, we don't know what mezuzah is because we didn't just start first learning the Torah. We learned about the mezuzah. We learned about the mezuzah. But we have a parasha of mezuzah, Shema Yisrael. So why does it allude to the mezuzah? So I want to say a very simple drush is, what exactly does it say in the mezuzah? In the first parasha of the mezuzah, it says, B'shivtecha b'veisecha uvelechtecha v'aderech. V'yohavta eis Hashem lovecha b'chol lovav b'chol nashem chomidecha v'yuh harom e'ilah shnoch b'savcha ima'al lovecha v'chulu v'chulu b'shivtecha b'veisecha. You say to the Eved, you fool, the purpose of being a slave for 6 years was to rehabilitate you so you can go out and establish your own bias. You should love Hashem b'shivtecha b'veisecha in your house, not in someone else's house. And what are you afraid of? You're afraid you're not going to have parnasa. If I go into my own house, how am I going to support my wife and my children? V'haya im shamaya tishmuel mitzvaseh shanochem mitzvaseh shamayam lavas shamokechem lovdu b'chol lev v'chol namshchem v'nosati mitar artzechem b'ito yoyre u'malkoish v'yosaf d'gonecha v'siroshcha v'yitzorecha v'nosati eisa b'sosla v'ndecha v'chalfa v'savata. The pasuk here is being merames. Slave, Jewish slave, Eved Ivri. 6 years are up. Haven't you gained from the experience? It's now time for you to make a home for yourself. And don't worry about Parnassa. Hashem gives Parnassa. And you don't want to do that. You want to be a slave in this man's house. So you know what? Let's remind you once again. We'll take you to the door. We'll stand you up. Oy el ha-mezuzah means the post. But what's attached to that post? What's attached to that post? The mezuzah. And what does it say on that mezuzah? It says, you're supposed to have a home for yourself. And parnasa will come. You failed. You're a failure. And because you're a failure, rachmana litzlan, you're going to be a nirtza. And that being nirtza is obviously not in anyone's best interest. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. Now, this is a quick idea. This is it's more of an observation. Rashi darshins at length, why the ear and why the door. So Rashi says, because the ear was a witness to Hashem, to Matan Torah, where Hashem said, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. And the door was also a witness to Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. Let me read you the words of Rashi. I want to make this observation and say something very simple. Uma ro'o oizen leheirotza mikol shor eivarm shebik. Why this specifically the ear? Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai oizen zos. This ear, shashoma al har Sinai leitignoiv. Okay, that's not the part that I want. But halach v'ganav teirotza. V'imoich ratzma oizen shom al har Sinai. Now here, if he sold himself, oizen shashoma al har Sinai. Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. Now let me ask you a question. Hashem said those words in Har Sinai? No, he didn't. Those words come from Vayikra, Perek Chafhei, Pasuk Nun Hei. Doesn't those words do not appear? Do not appear anywhere in Matan Torah. So obviously Rashi is extrapolating that Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. I took you out of home of slavery. So we're extrapolating. We are borrowing a pasuk from Vayikra, and we're saying the equivalent of what Hashem said in Vayikra is what happened at Har Sinai. Kili Bnei Yisrael Avodim. Now go further. Why only Ma'anishtanu Deles Umezuzah Mikol Kelim Shebabayis Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Deles Umezuzah Shayu Eidin B'Mitzrayim Kishe Posachti Al Hamashkof Yalshtei Hamezuzos V'Omarti. And I said, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. Same exact pasuk. Now I challenge you, where in the time of Makas B'Choyos did Hashem say those words? Doesn't say it anywhere. Doesn't say it anywhere. Kili B'nei, so it's an extrapolation. You'll find psukim here and there about Shalachami V'Avduni. You'll find psukim, and therefore Rashi is coming to extrapolate. That's really an S on the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying. But what Rashi is also doing is he's saying something very, very, very fascinating. This quoting this Machazal is, these are two very different events. Yitzias Mitzrayim is one event, and Matan Torah is a different event. Two different events. There were 50 days in between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And both of these events, according to this Chazal, Hashem's words were the message was exactly the same. Exactly the same. Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. That is the common theme between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Now let's go a step further. What's the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Matan Torah. Be'otziacha esa'om in Mitzrayim, ta'avdun esu elokim alahor hazeh. There's a purpose. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to come to Matan Torah. That's what Hashem told Moshe. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not the end. It is just a step in reaching our ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is Matan Torah. Yitzias Mitzrayim, and even though even though these are two different steps, we learn here that they both capture the same theme. The same theme is Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. We take this nirtza, we take his ear, which represents Matan Torah. We bring him to a door which represents Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we make a hole between the two. We make a hole. What are you really doing? You're connecting. You're basically banging a nail. You're connecting. What we're in essence saying to the slave is, you have failed to understand that everything that happens is for a purpose. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, it was for the purpose of Matan Torah. You were here as a slave for 6 years. There was a purpose. The purpose was rehabilitation. So you now can go on and build your own life. You have failed. You have failed to see the purpose of going from point A to point B. Therefore, we have to remind you that everything has a purpose, has a goal. Therefore, we have no choice but to take you, to take your ear, and to bring it to the door, and to remind you of the most important event in the history of Klal Yisrael, where something happened for a purpose, for a greater goal, and we fulfill that goal. You have yet to learn that what has happened to you also comes to serve a purpose, and until that point in time, unfortunately, you're going to have to be a nirtza. Okay, something along those lines. I think that might also need a little more development. All right, let's now go.
Rehabilitation.
What?
What does it mean? What rehabilitation? How could? I thought he was sold in order to pay back what he stole.
That also. But a greater purpose of being a slave is to learn how to live again, to rehabilitate himself, correct himself. It's a correction facility.
How?
It's not incarceration. What?
How?
By observing a balabais, observing a family, a home, a balabais, his wife, his children, to see how they live, how they conduct themselves in a refined way. It should trickle down, have an effect on him, and he also should one day aspire to have that for himself. Okay, that's the big debate in the prison system. Is a person in prison for a punishment, or is he there for rehabilitation, to correct himself? And they may not come in and say, what are your rights? If you're there for rehabilitation, so, you know, it's a country club. If you're there for punishment, so this solitary confinement. That's the big debate. What is the purpose of incarceration? All right. Let's go to another quick idea. Okay, this is a short idea. I think there's something over here. And the Shalosh Rigolim. At the end of the parasha, we mentioned the Shalosh Rigolim. Shalosh Rigolim Tachog Li Bashana. Okay, we have Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaKotzer, Rechulu. And then it says, the last pasuk concludes, Shalosh Pi'amin Bashana Yer'er Kol Zichurcha El Pnei Ha'adoin Hashem. So the question is, why so like there are two different ideas. Number one, this pasuk teaches you have to come and bring a carbon oil, you have to come to the Beis HaMikdash. And the first pasuk tells you have to celebrate three chagim in a year. Why, when the first section tells us to celebrate the three chagim, the shalosh, is it called rigolim? Shalosh rigolim, a regel. And the end of the parasha, it says shalosh pe'amim. What's the difference between the word pe'amim and the word rigolim? They both mean the same thing. Even Rashi says rigolim is like pe'amim, it means a time. Like loma zehiki suni ze shalosh pa'amim. What is it? Rigolim. And there it means time. So Rashi doesn't really explain very much. Rashi just says they're really the same, and they're just teaching you two halachas. You have to celebrate, observe the shalosh, the three festivals, and also when you celebrate the three times of the year, a person has an obligation to come to the Beis HaMikdash, to appear before Hashem, and to bring a karban oila to come to the Beis HaMikdash. But why the change of expression? Right. So I think it's a very simple, similar idea.
3 feet?
No, regal means a foot, but regal means, in this context, it means a time. Regal is a time. It's lama zehki sun zeh shalosh regolim, 3 times. So why do we have the different levels of expressions? I wanted to suggest a very simple idea. The word regal also means a course. Vayivarcheni Hashem big lolecha. I've got the pasuk. It's the pasuk that says liraglai. You have blessed me. There's a the word raglai. There's a pasuk that says liraglai. Raglai. And I'm not just saying this for myself. I'm saying this. I saw this part of this.
Raglai.
What? Oschol liraglai. I've been blessed because of you. The word liraglai regel is used in Tanakh every so often to mean a siba, because of something. Because of you, this has happened to me. Because of this, this is what follows. When it says the word pam, though, just means a time, a zaman. The pasuk is telling you a very important insight. When it comes to celebrates, people want like to celebrate. Soon it's Purim, everyone wants to celebrate. People have a tendency, have a need to celebrate. In life, you just don't celebrate. You have to have a good reason, a regel, a siba, a cause to celebrate. If nothing is going on, you don't go out to party. You don't go to the bar and drink the whole night. If there's nothing, there's no reason. If something good happened, you have a simcha, a child, grandchild, accomplishment in life. There's a cause for celebration. Kol hakavod. Torah says you'll have at least 3 reasons to celebrate a year. Shalosh rigolim. There are 3 causes in the year to chog li bashana, to celebrate the shalosh rigolim. 3 times you are guaranteed that is a cause in and of itself.
Cause
what?
It's an expression in English or in another language. Cause celebrate. Means a cause.
A cause to celebrate. A cause celebrate.
What does the Aesan from Pilum say? Shalosh rigolim.
Okay, I'm not sure. I have to see the other part. But regal means a course.
I know.
A course. Now, pam does not mean a course. Pam means a time. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash, yira, you shall appear. Shalosh HaMashon, yira, you shall appear. Chazal Darshan, the word yira is related to the word yira, to fear. You shall fear. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash, it's a moment of dread. To come into the Beis HaMikdash, where the Shechina is resting, there's a pachad, there's the Emes Hadin. The Shechina is present. It's a moment of yira. 3 times a year, a person has to feel the pachad of yira, the fear of Hashem, to bring himself to a level of fearing Hashem that's much higher than his level of fear throughout the entire year. What is the connotation? The difference is that when it comes to fear, it's not, you don't need a cause to fear Hashem. Every so often, shalosh pe'amim. Every so often, whether you like it or not, whether you have cause or not, whether there's a reason or not, you have to put yourself in a frame of mind where you fear Hashem. Don't wait chas v'shalom for something bad to happen. Oh no, what am I going to do now? I have to do tshuva, I have to go and fear Hashem. Or, oh no, I need something from Hashem. I need something, I want to marry off my child, I got to be good, so you know I need a zechus, I'm going to go and fear Hashem. No, that's not the way it works. When it comes to fearing Hashem, shalosh po'amin, this is setting the tone. There are three times a year you fear Hashem, whether you like it or not. Whether you have cause to fear Hashem, whether you don't have a cause. Extrapolate from that. Every single day, three times a day, you daven, whether you like it or not. You have to fear Hashem. Celebration? No. When it's going to be tochog, then shalosh rigolim tochog li bashana. You have to have a cause. So I'm giving you a cause three times a year. But when you want to extrapolate and you want to celebrate other times of the year, not so fast. You only celebrate when there is a regel. The difference, nuance of expression between the way the Torah describes fearing Hashem three times a year and celebrating is teaching us for other occasions of fear and other occasions of celebration. Celebration, regel, a cause. Fear, no. There are intervals. You decide in your madrega when those intervals should be, and that's how it has to be, whether you like it or not, whether there's cause or no cause. Okay, let's go to the next quick idea. We have here in this week's parasha twice two different mentions of Nasa v'Nishma. First, after the end of the parasha, it says this parasha is the Shloka Seder. After we learn all the halachas, Hashem tells us Yel Moshe Omar Alei El Hashem Ata V'Aro Nadav Aviv. And Rashi says everything that it says here in Perek of Dalet until the section break, until the Samach, took place before Parshas Yisro. Ein muktam um ucha batayra. Moshe goes by Yavai Moshe by Saper. Laam is called Dibra Hashem, the is called Hamishvatim, by Yan Kolom by Kol Echad, by Yomru, Kol Hadam Hashadibra Hashem. What's the next word?
Nase.
Just Nase. And then by Moshe writes, by Yichtoy Moshe, and then he takes Zevach, by Yizduch Zevach, and he takes the blood, and he divides the blood into two parts, and he sprinkles the blood upon the people. They go to Mikvah, they have Milah. And then Moshe Nochamal Vayikach Sefer Habris Vayikra Biosnei Ha'am Vayoimu, when they respond Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. My high. Only a few psukim later Moshe Nochamal repeats again the words again, and here they respond Naaseh V'Nishma, and before they only said Naaseh. What's the difference between what it says here and what it says after Moshe brought them into a bris through the sacrifices and through sprinkling blood upon them? So I want to something very, very simple. And that is, look at the difference of how Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael. Moshe first, in this pasuk, Vayavoy Moshe, Vayisaper Lo'am.
Looked on nice.
He spoke. Sibur Devarim Ba'alma. There's a mitzvah of Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Paraduma. There's a mitzvah, Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noyach. Sibur. Sibur. Sibur has a connotation. Sibur Devarim Ba'alma, it's a story. After Moshe brought them into the bris through the offering of sacrifice and through the application of blood, Moshe, come back. I want to tell it to you all over again. Vayikach Sefer HaBris. But here Moshe didn't speak nicely. Moshe spoke with force. Vayikra Ba'oznei Ha'am. It's not just Tam Vayisaper Lam. Vayikra be'oznei. Listen carefully. Yikra. Vayikra be'oznei ha'am has a connotation that's much more powerful, much more intense than just stam sipur. And now the people said, Naaseh v'nishma. Whole different world. Okay, not going into the differences, but it's a whole different world. What is the lesson for us? The lesson for us is what you put in, what you get out. When you teach children, you teach anyone, you give a shir. If the shir is stories, vayisaper, stories. You just put in stories, vayisaper. Very nice. Nase. But when the Rebbe puts in everything, it's First of all, he takes the people and he has a commitment. Are you in the course or are you not in the course? Are you registered or not? There's a bris, right? There's a bris. Have you signed up? Have you paid your tuition? If it's free, it's no good. You have to pay. If you're not going to pay, there's no sense that it's worth anything. And then the Rebbe, Vayikra be'oznei ha'am, you put in the effort of it should be a Vayikra be'oznei ha'am, then the Talmidim will give you nachas. The Talmidim will not just say Naseh, they'll say Naseh v'nishma. It's a whole different league, a whole different world. Now I want to just go to level two. This is a totally different vart. There's another Naseh. And that Naseh took place, according to Rashi, later. Go back to Parashas Vayisro. After Hashem gave the Torah, all this was before Matan Torah. And then after Matan Torah, what happened? Moshe comes down, people are terrified, and Moshe, and he tells them in Parashas Mishpatim, last week's Parasha, and what is Parashas Yisro, last week's Parasha, and what happens after Matan Torah? They say, Naseh. They don't say Naseh v'nishma, v'cholom roimus ha'koilos. Well, the truth is, there's a nishma also. I didn't realize that. But let's put that for a side. I said before, Mount. We're going to go back from the pasuk. Klal Yisrael dibalta esa. When it comes to Hagbala, pasuk ches. Vayanu cholam yachta. The answer. Vayoyimu kol asher diba Hashem naaseh. Okay, this is all before Matan Torah. Naaseh. So naaseh. Parashas Yisro perik yutes pasuk ches. Okay, pasuk. So it comes out as follows. There are three statements that occurred before Matan Torah. The first statement was
naaseh.
Vayisaber Moshe
naaseh.
The response was naaseh. Second statement, Vayikra ba'osnei ha'am, Naseh v'nishma. Go forward. Moshe, they're getting ready. Hagbola, it's right before Matan Torah. Vayanu Moshe vayikra l'ziknei ha'am, vayosem l'fneiam, eizkol d'varmo eilel, vayanu cholom v'yachto v'yom kol ha'shedi ba'ashem, Naseh. So the Seder Hadvarim is Naseh, Naseh v'nishma, and Naseh. Three different madregos. And these three madrigals, in truth, are the three madrigals, the cycle every person has to take in his observance of Torah mitzvahs. The first time you do a mitzvah, for the very first time in your life, it's practice, right? The first time you do, you put on tefillin. You know what you're doing? The first time you wash a bar mitzvah board, put it on tefillin. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know anything. He's putting on the tefillin here, there, looking in the mirror, putting on his hat. He spends more time putting on the hat than putting on the tefillin, right? It's just practice. It's naseh. When you do a mitzvah a second time, or as you get comfortable with the mitzvah, now it's naseh v'nishma. Let me understand. You do it. Nishma has a connotation of understanding. I'm going to do it with a degree of understanding. And then after you master the understanding, the highest madrega is now naseh. You do it. You do it. You just do a lishma. You know all the reasons behind the mitzvah.
That's an oshim alumada.
There's a difference between the first naseh and the last naseh. The ultimate goal is to do, like, for example, we have the famous story when you blow shofar. So why do you blow shofar? So if you look in the Kabbalah Svarim, when you blow the hesos, the kavanis, there are shemois and combination of shemois and kavanois. But when you actually blow the shofar, what are you supposed to be thinking? Naseh. I'm blowing the shofar because Hashem told me to blow the shofar. Now, why then do you spend time learning the kavanos, what all of these things represent? The answer is, it has no meaning just to blow the shofar, l'shem blowing the shofar, unless you first learned all the kavanos. In other words, you'll say to me, if any way the goal is to do the mitzvah, l'shem shamayim, because Hashem told me to do the mitzvah, so why bother learning all of the reasons? It doesn't work like that. You have to understand the depth behind the mitzvah. Every mitzvah has 70 reasons. There's no limit to how depth there is in every single mitzvah. But the bottom line is, when you do the mitzvah, it's not because of all of the reasons. It's because Hashem told you to do the mitzvah. If you're not going to have the background of first having all of the understanding, the depth of the mitzvah, then when you're going to do the mitzvah, l'shem shemayim, it's not going to have any flavor. That's just the nature. That's just the way it is. So the cycle of doing every single mitzvah is always nas. First, let's just jump in. Let's get our feet wet. What is this all about? Let's do the mitzvah. As you mature, you develop a relationship with the mitzvah. Why am I doing the mitzvah? What are the reasons for the mitzvah? It's a nasa with a nishma mixed in. And then when you mature, you ultimately mature, you reach the highest madrega, then it's pure nasa. I know all the reasons, I understand everything that's behind the mitzvah, I'm a bucky in how to do the mitzvah, and you know why I'm doing the mitzvah now, when the day is over? It's because Hashem told me to do the mitzvah. These are the three healthy stages in mitzvah observance. Last short vart, the very last pasuk of the parasha, very, very short, I think it's an important vart, there's a machlokes, Rashi has two pirushim as to when this pasuk took place. The pasuk says, Vayishkoin kivoyed Hashem al har Sinai, Vayichaseh onan sheishes yomim, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayom Hashem yitoche onan. Umare kivoyed Hashem ke'esh achelz v'rech shachol l'nei kol Yisrael. Rashi says, when did this event take place? It's a very high madrega, where Hashem's Shechin is resting, and it's covering the mountain, and the Mare Kavoyed Hashem appears Ke'esh Echeles. So Rashi's first interpretation says it took place before Matan Torah. And Rashi's second interpretation was it took place after Matan Torah. 7 days after Matan Torah, right before Moshe went to Shammai. Which one of the Pirushim is correct? Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And what does that mean? It's a very, very great accomplishment where you can be on the same madrega afterwards as you were before. Before Matan Torah, there was such excitement. There was a build-up. There was anticipation. I mean, Makabal the Torah. Okay, Makabal the Torah. It's over. Everyone go back home. Business as usual. 7 days after Kabbalah Satara, nothing changed. The Kvoid Hashchina is the same. For a person to be able to maintain the stamina, have the stamina to maintain the excitement and to retain the Kedusha of the Shechina afterwards, the same way it was before, this is a very great shvach for Klal Yisrael. And on that note is what the parasha ends. We'll start with the Shabbos.